julas tilbud hos Spar. Julefeiringen nærmer seg med stormskritt, og nå får du hele 40% rabatt på et stort utvalg Evergood kaffe. I tillegg får du også fersk krydder av tynnribber fra Folkets, før 149, nå kun 99 kroner per kilo. Alt I tilbud på noe godt. Hilsen oss I Spar.
I am on a mission to educate women about hormone replacement therapy because the misinformation is still prevailing.
Hei dere, velkommen til oss. Vi Biohacking Girls, din podcast for optimal helse.
Vi to jenter bak rattet. Dette Monica.
Og dette Alette. Vi biohacking-kollegaer og legger sammen våre erfaringer og kunnskap for å inspirere deg til å ta fatt på biohacking for å optimalisere helsen din.
Vi følger med og setter forstørrelsesglass på trender og siste forskning og snakker med verdens toppeksperter innen trening, life coaching, helse og biohacking.
Du klar for å starte med konkrete hacks, lytte til din egen kropp og ta fatt på din helsemessige reise sammen med oss?
Vi ønsker naturlig tilnærming til helsen vår, og vi snakker til både menn og kvinner.
Du kan gjerne gi tilbakemeldinger til oss under podcasten her, og slå gjerne til med en god stjerne.
Du finner oss også på Instagram og Facebook. Du klar? Velkommen!
Tenk deg at du går rundt og føler deg helt sunn og helt frisk det meste av livet ditt, og så plutselig en dag så begynner du å oppleve symptomer som at du begynner å legge på deg, du begynner å få litt sånn brain fog, hjernetåke, trettheten kan komme, humørsvingninger og søvnforstyrrelser som absolutt ikke forsvinner. Velkommen til berg- og dalbanen I perimenopause og overgangsalder.
Ja, det kan du si, og kanskje velkommen også til alle unge som sliter med spørsmål når det gjelder hva de skal benytte når det gjelder p-piller og prevensjon, hva riktig og viktig. Velkommen til dere også, for det altså hormoner der ute som vi blir tilbudt hos legene våre, og så det hormoner inni kroppene våre som naturlige, og hvordan samsvarer dette med hverandre?
Ja, hvordan samsvarer det? Og det et komplekst tema som vi skal gå dypt inn I dag. Vi har med oss en person fra Kanada. Hun heter Karen Martell, og hun hormonspesialist, og hun coach for kvinner som trenger hjelp med både vektnedgang og hjelper til med hormoner. Så vi har masse spørsmål for henne I dag som både vi lurer på, og jeg håper dere også som lytter får noe ut av det.
Og dette veldig viktig, for det ganske få I Norge som har tilgang til en god lege med erfaring med bioidentiske hormoner. Derfor det så fint for oss å hente inn internasjonale stemmer som kan hjelpe oss å forstå. Og I dag med Karen så skal hun forklare veldig nøye alt dette, hvordan du skal velge, hva du skal velge, hvilken dosering og hvilke hormoner vi snakker om, og hvordan hormonene virker I kroppene våre, og hvordan de snakker til organene, og hvilke hormoner som jobber sammen, som man trenger I samspill, som om de spiller piano sammen.
Ja, for I sommer så har det faktisk vært en stor hormondebatt. Kvinner har gått mann av huset for å ikke engang få tak I hormoner. Det har vært utsolgt på apoteker, og det har vært helt krise. Og vi vet også at det veldig vanskelig for kvinner I alle aldre å finne leger som kan nok om dette med bioidentiske hormoner. I Norge det veldig ofte at du får en dose som skal hjelpe deg av med symptomer, men kanskje ikke den helende dosen som gjør at det faktisk har en kjempegod helseeffekt på oss også.
Helt riktig I forhold til å forebygge en del av de alvorlige sykdommer kan få. Det kreft, og det også høy kolesterol, hjertesykdommer og hjernelidelser. Så hormonbehandling veldig I den spede start I Norge. Vi har så vidt begynt, men allikevel så har fått, som du sier, gått mann av huset for å få tak I disse plasterne som utsolgt overalt. Så interessen I alle fall stor. Så I dag, når vi skal snakke med Karen, så følg med helt til slutt, for vit at hun også online coach, så hun hjelper folk I hele verden og hennes team. Så vi kan faktisk ta med våre prøver og benytte oss av hennes tjenester for virkelig få optimalisert den hormonbehandlingen vi eventuelt ønsker, og betale I dyredommer. Så, kjære lyttere, velkommen til ukens episode med Biohacking Girls. Karen Mattel, welcome to our podcast from Canada to Norway. We are so excited to talk to you today.
I am so excited to be here, girls. I love that we're able to do this from across the world. It's really exciting.
Oh, it's really exciting experience. It's so nice. So we would love for you to share your story, why you ended up where you are today.
Yes. Like most practitioners, it came from a place of suffering and figuring it out on my own because I could not find the information that I needed. So I decided, that's it. I got to figure this out on my own because it was so challenging to find it from my medical providers, which I think so many of us were in this space because of that. That's kind of like the root cause, right? So mine, I won't go into it too much detail because it did start actually in my early 30s when I had my first baby, which I think for a lot of women, they can relate with that, which everything was fine. And then I had a baby. Everything just crashed. And so at that point, I was in my early 30s, had my baby, and went through this period of time where my health just took a dive for no reason, I thought, except for the fact that, you know, I was a single mother running my own business, not having any help, you know. and I think, why did this happen? But anyways, I did, and the stress was obviously too much for my system. I had a thyroid crash, my hormones went crazy, and all I was told to do was go on medication. I was given an antidepressant, a sleeping medication, and was basically told to work out harder and eat less because I was rapidly gaining weight, even though I hadn't changed anything in my diet. I was always a healthy person, so I was like, what's going on? And so I was doing what these people were telling me to do, and things only kept getting worse. And so I ended up figuring out it was my hormones. It took me about 2 years to get things kind of back to where they should be with all these different interventions with diet and lifestyle and supplementation. Got back up on my feet, you know, was able to lose the weight. And from there, I had decided, you know what, there's got to be more women like me who are doing everything right, but yet they're gaining weight and they have this hormonal weight loss resistance. And so from there, I had actually eventually got into nutrition and I became a nutritionist. And I was like thinking I had this all down and I got it figured out and, you know, bring it on, menopause, perimenopause. I got this. And I was going into my early 40s and it happened again. And it was like, it was a whole bunch of things kind of happened, but my thyroid crashed again. I was like, my hormones went crazy and I started to actually go into menopause at 42. I was losing my period and it was overnight. It was crazy. It was like within 2 months, I gained 15 pounds. I couldn't get off my couch. My skin was itchy. I was severely depressed, no libido, hot flashing and night sweating day and night like crazy. And I'm like, what just happened? And how is it that this happens again to me when I think I have it all figured out? And it just was proof again that your hormones can have such an impact that you can be doing everything right. You can be the biohacker of all biohackers and eating perfectly, exercising perfectly, doing all the things. And this can still happen when you lose your hormones or become somehow imbalanced with hormones. And I mean, there was root causes to this. And things like heavy metals that I had in my body and the wrong thyroid medication. So there was things that impacted it. But the bottom line was I started to lose the hormones and that drastically affected every part of my body. And so I came out of that experience going, why is it that me, who's in this space again, that this could happen? And that I didn't know that this could happen again. Like I thought I had it figured out, but I didn't. And so it was like a huge wake-up call. And then I started to look around and go, oh my gosh, we are not being told this information. And I started diving into bioidentical hormones and was realizing, oh my gosh, there's so much misinformation about this. Started taking courses, became specialized in hormones, you know, started taking basically every course under the sun, every book, read every book about hormones, and just was like, oh my gosh, I have got to share this information. And it literally blew up from there, my business, because women were like, oh my gosh, give me this information. And I realized there's millions of women suffering around the world because of the lack of information around perimenopause and menopause.
But Karen, we also have many young listeners or like in their 20s and 30s, and these are two different periods in your life. If you would give advices to yourself, oh, I'm going to talk to myself when I was 30, what would you tell yourself? How could you be a better version and not suffering? And how can you help the listeners and everybody in this age to live through the hormonal changes better?
Yeah, because we're seeing it happening in younger and younger women. And once again, because of the lack of information and what we're being told, we think that it's us. We think that we're not doing enough. So we have these symptoms, you know, as young women, maybe you've got heavy periods, really bad PMS, you've got extra weight that you just can't seem to get off, and yet you're fasting, you're lifting weights, you're eating a perfect diet, maybe you're keto, maybe you're paleo, carnivore, you've tried them all, and yet you still can't lose weight. And so our first instinct is to do it hard, everything harder. And it's like, okay, well, I'm not taking enough supplements. I'm not working out hard enough. I'm not eating perfectly enough. Maybe I should go down to one meal a day. Maybe I need to go lower carb. When we need to go upstream and go, okay, why is this happening? So if you're somebody that is going, if has been trying these things, which I would guess is a lot of your audience, right? Like you, like me, we attract people that are working on their health, that are taking their health seriously and trying to do things to better themselves. So if that's you and you're listening to this and you're like, yeah, I've been doing all of these things and I'm just not getting anywhere. It's like two steps forward, four steps back. Then I want you to go deeper. I want you to look at your hormones, because if you're in your 20s, you are not exempt from having hormone dysfunction. And we are being bombarded like we have never been before by toxins in the environment that mimic hormones in our body that are actually stronger. And so your body will use these fake xenoestrogens, the fake estrogens in the environment from plastics and air pollution and things that we're eating. There's so many toxic estrogen mimicking chemicals in everything around us, that your body will actually use those over your own hormones inside your body because they're stronger and they don't act the same, unfortunately. They're not wonderful like our own hormones are. So that can cause things like endometriosis, polycystic ovarian syndrome, which are both on the rise. Polycystic ovarian syndrome is the number one cause of infertility now in women. And we know infertility is going up. What are we being told as a 20-year-old, as a 25-year-old, as a 30, 35-year-old, when we go to the doctor and say, hey, I've got endometriosis, or I've got PCOS, or I'm having really bad PMS, I've got acne, what's going on? I'm gaining weight. What is the solution 95% of the time, if not 99%? Here is your birth control pill, which is a Band-Aid, and it is more hormone disruptors. Birth control is not a hormone. It's a synthetic chemical that disrupts our hormones. So you're adding fuel to the fire. Sure, it's going to get rid of some of those nasty symptoms that you're experiencing. Maybe you won't have so much period cramps, or maybe it'll give you a faux cycle, a pretend cycle because of those synthetic chemicals, but you're not getting to the root of the problem. You're adding to it. So one day when you do decide to come off, you're going to have all those things come right back and you will not be any farther ahead. If anything, you'll be farther, you'll be set back farther.
Because here in Norway, it's been a big case in the papers lately about endometriosis, because so many young girls suffer from it now, and it seems like they just put them into menopause, or they just remove everything, and it's a big thing. So what should they do instead?
Yeah, that one of the most common drugs that they give a woman with endometriosis is Lupron. And it's like castration in the sense, like for a female, it just shuts down your ovaries and puts you straight into menopause. That is so bad for us. Like we need our cycle. So endometriosis is, unfortunately, we don't know a ton about it, but what's coming out in the last decade is that it's autoimmune. And so, and then there's even links to it being genetic, but going back, you know, through like if your mom maybe had it, which back in our mom and grandmother's time, they wouldn't have even known what endometriosis was, but that it can get passed down and that there are links to the chemicals that are in the environment. Same with polycystic ovarian syndrome. There's links that show that it's being passed down in the fetus, these toxic chemicals that are then disrupting our systems when we're born. And so endometriosis has to be looked at as an immune problem. It's your body attacking itself. There's talk that we have an insensitivity to progesterone in the uterus. So we get this excess of estrogen action in the uterus, and we don't have progesterone. Like we have progesterone, but your body has a resistance to it, like insulin resistance. It's like it's there, but it's not, your body's not listening to those signals from the progesterone. And so there's different things that you can do, like improve your immune system. Watch what you're eating. You'll lower the inflammation. Your gut health is going to be, of course, diet is going to drive so much of that. Your gut microbiome is going to drive so much of that. Getting your body used to the progesterone again, like so that it starts to act on it, really important. We can do that with like a higher dose progesterone suppositories that go right up into the uterus. You can take things that will help to detox those receptors. Some women have found things like Tudka, which is a supplement that is really important for gallbladder function and liver function, to actually help with progesterone sensitivity. So detoxifications, certain detox protocols could help with that, to get that progesterone working again. But yeah, we really need to start to approach it from an immune perspective, not let's just shut everything down to this poor woman who could be 22 years old and let's give her Lupron and put her in menopause so that she stops suffering. And I don't want anyone to think that I'm, you know, anti using birth control, because for some women with endometriosis can be excruciatingly painful. I've had women that literally vomit all day when they get their period for days on end until the period goes, because they're in so much pain. They can't work. They can't function. And, you know, if you're in a situation like that, of course you're going to want to just remedy it as fast as possible. So maybe you have to take birth control just to help you to function and to do what needs to be done with changing the diet and boosting the immune system. There's great peptides that you can take to boost the immune system. Things like low dose naltrexone, another medication that helps upregulate the immune system, gut health. So, you know, if you have to take something like birth control to just feel better so you can do these other natural things, by all means, you know, I'm not here to judge anybody on what their choices are, but just know that taking Lupron or birth control is not getting to the root of the problem, and it's not fixing it.
Very good explanation, and we need to enlighten this a lot. But still, going back to these young girls who does not have a diagnosis, what would you suggest instead of the birth control or contraceptions? Young girls are asking us, what can we use? They're not bioidentical solutions for us.
Right. So young girls, they're lucky because their ovaries are typically still able to make hormones, right? So as we go into perimenopause and menopause, no amount of supplementation can bring back those hormones. But when you're young, there's still so many things that you can do that aren't bioidentical hormones that can help regulate your hormone levels. And of course, we want all the, you know, non-negotiables to be happening. So diet and really figuring out what diet is going to be best for you. Don't listen to what everybody and their dog says out there on social media about what's best, because what's best for you may not be best for somebody else. So doing something like a ketogenic diet, yes, it can be really great for inflammation, which would then help something like endometriosis. But if it's an autoimmune condition, or at least immune driven, then something maybe just like a paleo or autoimmune paleo would be better, because it's going to help support the thyroid and the adrenal system, which will be impacting the immune system. And so that supports that. Our thyroid and the adrenal system really do need carbohydrates. And so if you go too long low carb, it can really start to affect the hormone levels. But yet, if you're somebody with polycystic ovarian syndrome, going carnivore or ketogenic could actually be your best diet, because it's insulin driven. It's blood sugar driven. So doing something that's low carb could really help with that. And then lifestyle as well. It's like, how is your adrenal system? Are you having low cortisol with that endometriosis? Because if that's the case, you want to be doing yoga and long walks and nature and, you know, helping to reduce stress. You don't want to be doing CrossFit, but yet if you're PCOS, you probably would, because the more muscle you build, the better insulin sensitivity you're going to have. So you want to make sure that that's the base, that those are the non-negotiables, is diet and lifestyle. And then supplements, there's great things like Vitex. It's one of my favorites to use in young women. So Vitex, even combining that with something that's going to help your body to metabolize that estrogen, like D-indolmethane, methylated B complex, N-acetylcysteine, all of these things can really help. Iodine can help your body to metabolize estrogen. Vitex is going to help your body to make progesterone.
Can you explain these supplements so we understand it a little bit better? Vitex, just what it is.
So Vitex, also known as chaste berry, is a herbal that is known, one of the best herbals to boost your own progesterone levels. So it's going to help to balance out that estrogen to progesterone. N-acetylcysteine is an antioxidant that is a precursor to making our master detoxer, glutathione. I prefer to use it over glutathione. I see much better results with N-acetylcysteine. You want to get it high enough, around 1800 milligrams, but this is going to help your body to detox estrogen down one of the pathways. Great. D-indolmethane is one of the best herbals. It comes from the broccoli family, to help with lowering estrogen levels, but also helping your body in phase one to detox through the liver. So phase one of detoxification, we got phase one, two, and three. So DIM is going to help us to push down a really healthy pathway in the body that gets rid of your estrogen. So I don't know if you guys have urine metabolite testing in Norway.
Yes, we do.
You do? Okay. So if any of your listeners have had that done, you'll know that there's phase one and phase two detoxification pathways for estrogen. And phase one, there's three pathways: 2-hydroxylation, 16-hydroxylation, and 4-hydroxylation. 4 being the more toxic, that can cause DNA damage. We don't want to push highly down that pathway. Well, D-indolmethane will help to take that estrogen out of the four pathway and push it down our safest pathway called 2-hydroxylation. So you don't need to remember those names. It's just, we just to know that there's different pathways that we could be pushing estrogen down. And these pathways could be affecting how your body is processing when you make estrogen. And so this can all help, of course, with endometriosis or polycystic ovarian syndrome.
Du vet Fredrik og Louisa?
Ja.
De så flinke med folk. Man føler seg liksom så velkommen der.
Ja, dette en klage på nå, eller?
Nei, nei, herregud, du flink, du også.
Velkommen til julestemning hos Fredrik og Louisa, med 25% på dyreste vare ved kjøp av 2 produkter. Vilkår gjelder. Fredrik og Louisa, parfymeriet med de beste julegavene.
Julas tilbud hos Spar. Julefeiringen nærmer seg med stormskritt, og nå får du hele 40% rabatt på et stort utvalg Evergood kaffe. I tillegg får du også fersk krydder av tynnribber fra Folkets, før 149, nå kun 99 kroner per kilo. Alt I tilbud på noe godt. Hilsen oss I Spar.
Okay, so but we if we go back to the girls who needs contraceptives, is there any better alternatives or should I just use the pill?
Well, that's there's unfortunately there is not a great solution. I mean, besides knowing when you're ovulating, so doing basal body temperature, understanding that, you know, we can get pregnant in this window, paying attention to that, and then abstaining from sex or using a condom during that time where you're most likely to get pregnant. That's what I did, but I understand that a lot of women are like, forget it, I ain't doing that, I don't want to take the risk. Copper IUD, it doesn't have hormones in it, but it does have copper. And so some of us are copper toxic, and so putting in a copper IUD can cause issues for some women. But I would have to say that out of all of the non-hormone-containing medications for birth control, that would be my first choice. If I had to pick one, it would be the copper IUD, which I personally had as well at one point in my life. So that can be a solution. It can be in there for, I think, up to 5 years. It's a little implant that goes up into your cervix, very similar to the Mirena IUD, which is a birth control containing IUD, not copper. That would be my second choice if I had to pick one, would be the Mirena. They say it doesn't go systemic, but it does. Definitely. Yeah. And it takes a little time, I find, with the history of it. Like when I see women, they'll say, oh, I felt fine for a few years. And then suddenly I started to get all these problems. And we test their hormones and you can see in their hormone levels, oh, they've been on a form of birth control because it does affect their own hormonal system eventually. So those would be my top choices. Ideally, just learning your cycle, I think, is super important.
And if I can just add that I think the condoms are the best solution because there's other things than getting pregnant out there that they should be aware of.
Yes.
So that would be my suggestion.
And I will say for these women that haven't had kids yet or for the ones that even have, this is something that we can change. We have the power to change the women coming up. We can educate them on birth control, the effects of birth control, because it's being handed out like candy to young girls at 16. And this increases our risk of breast cancer. It shrinks parts of your brain. It gives you leaky gut. Like there's so many things that we're not being told about birth control. Mm. And it's like, oh, you've got acne and you're 14 years old. Here's your birth control. Stay on it for as long as you want. And that should not be the case. So we have an opportunity as mothers and soon to be mothers, maybe if that's what your choice to have children, to teach the girls coming up to number one, just use a condom. Like don't even allow the birth control to be an option. That's what I personally am doing in my own household. I have a 17-year-old daughter. She's not sexually active yet, but I've made it very clear that there's going to be no birth control and teaching her that she has to use condoms when she does eventually have sex. that is it. And you just drill that into their head that there's never a time, unless they're trying to get pregnant, that they will go without a condom. And I've actually used a diaphragm. I don't know if you guys still have those. It's like archaic, but I did. I used diaphragms for a long time, which if you have a partner that just refuses to wear a condom or can't maybe get an erection with a condom on, because that happens, getting a diaphragm fitted, they're just these little round little cup sort of looking things, and you place it, you can't feel it, you just throw it up there right next to the cervix, and it's like a dam, like it just covers your cervix so sperm can't get through. It's non-toxic. There's nothing in it. There's no hormones in it. The partner can't feel it. You can't feel it. It's actually a great option.
Yeah,
but it's unheard of nowadays.
Yeah. It's the pill pushing all the way.
So let's move a bit into the future. We are getting older. We still carry around with these hormones. Could you explain for us what hormones are? For me, I'm just having always this idea of feelings, emotions, and something we really should embrace and love. But what are hormones? What are they doing in our bodies?
Yes. So you can think of hormones as chemical messengers. You can almost say it's like the email system in your body. So you write the email, and then you got to send the email, and then the person gets that email and gets to open it up. And boom, there it is. And so you can kind of think of it like that, or a satellite docking system in your body where these little things are moving around and it's got to dock onto the satellite, send its message through. But they're messengers, and they're telling your body different messages depending on where it's docking to or where that inbox is. And so they, you know, it's a whole system thing. And yet we tend to just think about hormones. Like you said, we were like, oh, they make us emotional, our hormones. They give us PMS. So we're kind of, I don't like being hormonal. And they help us get pregnant and they make us bleed. That's kind of like the box that we're fitting these hormones into. And what most people don't realize is these hormones, we have receptors for these hormones all over our body. Estrogen has over 800 different functions in our body. So that goes way beyond the uterus and our emotions. We have them on every organ in the body, which means simply that we need estrogen to have all of our organs function properly and as optimal as they can. And so as these hormones start to go down, you're not only being affected through with your emotions, but also how these organs are functioning. And so a lot of people don't realize that their hormones, these chemical messengers, are sending messages to everything in your body, and they all work synergistically together. So if one's out, it's going to affect everything. And so it's about this kind of whole picture of how can we get these balanced? And then as we get older, as we're starting to lose where we produce these hormones, the bulk of them, which is our ovaries, what can we do to top these up so that we don't lose out on all of the benefits that these hormones give us? Beyond the uterus. Let's talk about the benefits beyond the uterus. And so when women are going through perimenopause, which is typically it starts around our late 30s, starts to really get going when we're in our early 40s to mid 40s, and then it really takes off. So we can see that perimenopause is typically around 8 to 10 years on average for a woman. And it's the time where the ovaries are just stopping functioning, basically. When we don't ovulate, we don't produce progesterone. And that progesterone is really important for not just, once again, fertility, but it's progesterone acts on the GABA receptors of your brain, which is a neurotransmitter that's very calming. So when our progesterone starts to go, what happens? We start to get anxiety. Suddenly we can't sleep very well anymore. Progesterone is really important for bone health. We talk a lot about how estrogen is important for bone health, but progesterone is as well. Progesterone is good for the skin. Progesterone is good for the brain. It actually helps with the myelin sheaths in the brain. It's being used in cases of concussions and brain swelling. High doses of progesterone reduce the inflammation in the brain that's happening from the concussion. It's wild. And so people will go and get IV therapy with high doses of progesterone so that they minimize the damage done to the brain from brain injuries. Pretty incredible. In the uterus, it counterbalances the growth of estrogen, so it helps to stop that growth. But not only that, it actually helps us to upregulate estrogen receptors so that your body can take in estrogen. And then estrogen upregulates progesterone receptors, so they're like these yin and yang, and they need each other to work properly. Estrogen, then one of the best things that estrogen does for us is helps us to be insulin sensitive. And so as women start to lose estrogen, that's part of the reason we gain so much weight when you haven't changed anything, because it helps you to process glucose, helps you to be insulin sensitive, helps with heart function. So we see women, we'll see cholesterol go up, you know, they can eat perfectly. Absolutely perfectly. This almost happens across the board if you don't replace your estrogen. Cholesterol will go up, bad cholesterol, and blood sugar goes up. And these are women that are like, oh, I haven't touched a carb for 10 years, and they'll still have this happen to them because that's how important estrogen is. Estrogen is needed for mitochondrial function. Estrogen's needed, estradiol is needed to make serotonin, which is a neurotransmitter that helps to ward off depression and many other things as well, but depression being one. Estrogen, estradiol, helps to volumize certain parts of the brain. We're rich with estrogen receptors in the brain. We know that the rate of Alzheimer's and dementia is going up for women. We're more susceptible to it. And part of that is because of estrogen. So when we start to lose our estrogen, it can increase our risk of Alzheimer's and dementia. And they've actually shown in research, good research, there was one done in the University of Arizona, 400,000 women. And it showed that women who took estradiol for 6 years or longer in menopause had a 75 to 80% reduction in dementia and Alzheimer's. That is massive. We don't hear about this, do we? Our doctors aren't like, oh, hey, your estrogen's going down. You better start taking it because it's going to help you ward off losing your brain. And it's why we get foggy brain. A lot of women will say, I feel like I'm getting Alzheimer's or dementia because they can't find their words anymore. They have the short-term memory loss and they freak out. Their brains are just super foggy. And we know that many women have had to quit, millions of women, I'm sure, have had to quit jobs or take time off work because they literally can't, their brain can't function with lower levels of estrogen in the body. And so very important, osteoporosis. We will get, we have a really, really high risk of getting osteoporosis if we don't replace estrogen because it's so important for bone formation.
What would be a maintenance level of estrogen for women when they enter the perimenopause?
So this is not controversial, a little bit, because people are still afraid of estrogen, but we know actually that if you you replace your estrogen, you actually have a lower risk of getting breast cancer.
Yes.
Lower.
Yes.
Yeah, not higher. Everybody thinks it's higher. It's lower. All cancers, if you replace your hormones, you have a reduction in developing any cancer. So that's pretty amazing in and of itself. But level-wise, there's different research that shows different things. So there's a great PubMed study that showed that women who were on estrogen replacement therapy, it showed it had to be above 65 picograms per milliliter to get bone protection. So we typically at our telemedicine clinic, we try to get women's estradiol between 65 and 125, even 100. That seems to be the Goldilocks little window. There's been research that showed dosage-wise that women that took 2 milligrams of estradiol a day, which is not a common dose. The highest dose that you'll usually see is 1 milligram. But this study showed that at 2 milligrams, they saw the hippocampus volumize in the brain. So it actually grew. In the group that had 1 milligram a day or no estrogen, did not have any volumization of the brain. And so 2 milligrams, so that would be bringing your levels probably higher than 100 on replacement. That's where they saw the biggest impact on the volumization of brain matter. That's pretty exciting. And so there's different levels, but we definitely don't want it to be like, oh, here's your minimal amount of estrogen to ward off hot flashes, and that's all you get. That is not the right approach.
So how would we convert these numbers to what we use? I think it's micrograms we do here. Can you see this one, for instance?
That is equivalent to if you were to take 0.75 milligrams per day. The patch, it's a funny measurement that they use, but the patch is stronger. And so they have it in a less of a dose, or in less of a, like it'll be 0.075. But if you were to do the equivalent in a cream, that equivalent would be 0.75 milligrams. And so if we were talking about that study, you would need to use the one that was 0.1, which is the next patch dose up. You'd have to use two of them to get the equivalent of 2 milligrams a day.
So we need more.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, but you would get really sore breasts.
So like I said, it's not common to give that much. That was one study that showed that.
Yeah.
Typically though, if you're on that 0.075 or the 0.1, we see that getting women's estradiol, which is what is in that patch, we see that bringing their levels typically above the 65 picograms per milliliter, which the equivalent to your measurements in blood work, I think you guys are the same as Canada, which is picomoles. So about 65 picograms per milliliter is equivalent to about 230, 250 picomoles. So that's what you're looking for. As well, you're going to look at something called follicular stimulating hormone, FSH. You guys may, it'll be close to that in your language. It won't be too, yes. I would think, because I've seen all the labs from all over the world, and usually I can tell which one's FSH and which one's estrogen exactly, even if it's in a different language.
Yes, FSH, it's true.
Okay, so FSH, when you're taking estrogen replacement, we want to see it getting down into the 20s or below. So ideally between 20 and 25, when we're fertile, our FSH is below 10. As we lose estrogen and go into menopause, FSH is going to get higher and higher and higher. It'll get up to 50, 70, 80. We see that women feel their best and have less weight gain when they keep that FSH at least in the 20s, in the low 20s. So that's another marker that you can gauge. Am I getting the health benefits of my hormone replacement therapy? So estrogen, you want it to be in that ballpark of 230 and above to get benefits for your heart, your brain, and your bones. That's where you're going to get that. Lesser dosage, you're going to get more of those kind of small, those symptom, the symptom relief of hot flashes, night sweats, vaginal dryness if you apply it down to the vagina. Then you don't need very much to get relief. And so that's something to really remember if you're listening to this, because a lot of doctors will say, well, we're just going to give you the smallest amount possible to get rid of that hot flash and night sweats that you're having, or a little bit on the vagina to get rid of the vaginal dryness. And then they stop there. But we know that we need higher amounts to really get the benefits of these hormones.
This is very good for us to understand and know, because in Norway now, here, the patches are sold out all over at all the pharmacies. So it's really hard to get because it's really fashionable to use these now. But we don't know much about the dosage. So I think what you say is right. You get the lower dose just to get rid of the hot flashes and all that stuff, but you don't get the health benefits. So we need to talk about that too. How high can you go with these patches? And what do you need to use of like progesterone or DHEA or something in addition to have, like the combination should be right in order to protect the uterus?
So this is where individuality really comes into play, because we all have a different set of genes. And depending on certain genetic markers, you could be somebody that you actually need higher doses of estrogen to feel your best. Like myself, I had to start, like my estrogen went down a little bit. I am a mess. Rather, my sister, her estrogen can go down and she doesn't even notice that she's not getting hot flash. It's nice. She's not gaining any weight. But if her testosterone goes down, she suffers immensely. And that's because of her genetics, and they're different than my genetics. And so there's some women that do need to go really low dose, because if they go higher, they get a whole slew of symptoms from the hormone replacement. They don't feel well. They are like, I tried HRT. I did not go well. I hated it. I got fat. I felt horrible. I was emotional. And so that's where you do want to work with somebody that understands what they're doing, because there's always different ways you can apply. Some women don't absorb the patch. Some women find that the patch is too strong. And so those women, they're better off doing maybe a cream, a small dose of cream to start, and then kind of working their way up from that. Some women we find they won't absorb cream and they don't absorb the patch. They have to do injection. And then they feel their best. Same with progesterone. Some women are sensitive to taking oral progesterone, which is probably all that anybody in Norway is being offered, is yes. Oral progesterone. Yeah. Utrogestrin.
Yeah. Yes.
Very, very common exactly. In Europe. Yes. So
does it work?
It's amazing. However, some women and a growing body of women are really sensitive to oral progesterone, because oral progesterone creates more metabolites, progesterone metabolites. We're not supposed to take it orally. Naturally, we don't, right? But if you do take it orally, which is the most common way to give it, you're going to only get about 20% of actual progesterone, because it has to go through the first hepatic pass of the liver and your digestive system. So you lose a lot of it, and a lot of it gets turned into these metabolites, which for most women, those metabolites are fantastic. Those metabolites, they're the ones that act on the GABA receptors of the brain. So some women that have a lot of anxiety, their oral progesterone is like miracle for them. They're like, oh my gosh, I love it. And now I'm sleeping like a baby. I have no more anxiety. I feel amazing. And that you have to dose between 100 typically and 200 milligrams, because you lose so much of it. So most women can do that. If you have a sensitivity to it, it means that you have it's called neurosteroid sensitivity. And it's not that you have too much or too little. It's that your brain can't handle a certain metabolite that progesterone creates. When you use it topically, those metabolites aren't as high. So a lot of women can't deal with oral, they can't deal with oral, can tolerate topical progesterone. So that's a, it's a great option. Topical progesterone doesn't show up in blood work very well. So it looks like it's not being absorbed, but it is for most people, unless you've got thick skin. You can also do progesterone suppositories. Those work really well for people that have progesterone sensitivity. So there's, once again, so that's individual, because some women, they thrive on it. Others, they're like, oh my gosh, no, the oral progesterone makes me tired, depressed, weepy, bloated. I don't feel good at all. And so it's all dependent on the person. And then we have testosterone, which is a really important player in all of this. We really want women to get testosterone. Now, testosterone, we produce about 40-45% in the ovaries, and the rest are it's going to come from the adrenal system and through other conversions. And so some women don't lose the bulk of their testosterone in menopause. Rather, some do. So it's kind of like a 50-50 where you may have low testosterone, you may not. Rather, progesterone and estradiol, the bulk of those two are being produced in the ovaries. So almost across the board, when you hit menopause, you are going to lose estradiol and progesterone and be making almost none. And so most women can replace those two hormones. So we want to watch testosterone, because testosterone is our most abundant hormone. So we produce more testosterone than estrogen or progesterone when we're in our cycle year. So when we're fertile, we should be producing more testosterone than estradiol or progesterone. So it's really important. It's the one that's going to give you energy. It's, I always say, it gives you your lady balls, gets you out there doing what you need to do, taking control, you know, multitasking, and energy for the brain, energy for the body, helps us to put muscle on, so it can help you to be more insulin sensitive, helps with libido, which is what it's most known for. And that is really important. So is estrogen for libido. It can be either one or both. But testosterone, really, really important. That one, we typically see the best results by using injectable testosterone. So I don't know, are you guys able to get testosterone in Norway for yourself?
We just get the ones that's for the men, topical. Yeah. So we have to use just a little bit less than, like I can use the same as my husband.
Yeah, so it's really sexist. There is no pharmaceutical brand of women's testosterone. I've heard about one coming out, and I actually do think it's in Europe that's coming out for women. It may already be out, but I don't think it's very popular yet. But yeah, the man's dose is huge, right? Like that's way too much for us. It's so sexist. Like even here in Canada, my husband gets his testosterone covered by our insurance. I don't.
Wow. But Karen, we need to follow up. Just one question about the progesterone. You could use it vaginally too. Would that be better? Would the body absorb more?
It's not better. It could be better for people that are sensitive to progesterone. So if you take it orally and you don't feel good, you take it topically on your skin, you still have bad side effects, then try vaginally. Or if you've got fibroids, endometriosis, great. Use higher doses in the vagina, typically can help to reduce fibroids, ovarian cysts, and can help with all of those kind of estrogen-driven issues. And so it's really to for the individual. It can work.
And what would be the dosage for testosterone for women typically, like if you could average out something?
Yeah. So you want to start low and slow with testosterone, because you can, like progesterone, like all of our hormones, it can go down different pathways. And depending on your genetics, again, so some women can go down a pathway that will lead to a stronger testosterone being produced in the body. It's called dihydrotestosterone. It's really strong, very masculine. And if you have high amounts of this enzyme that makes you go from testosterone to dihydrotestosterone, which you don't know unless you've taken a urine test, urine metabolite test, or you have a history of polycystic ovarian syndrome. If you don't have any, if you haven't done that, or you don't know if you have, you know, you didn't have any PCOS, you don't know. So taking testosterone for a lot of women, they won't know until their testosterone gets too high. Suddenly, they'll get chin whiskers. They start growing a mustache. They'll start losing the head, their hair on their head. They say that guys that are bald typically have high levels of dihydrotestosterone. Great for the libido. Your libido will shoot up, but then you're going bald and you're growing a beard. So it's not very pleasant. Your clitoris can become enlarged and grow. I call it the clitinus can start to happen. And that's a serious problem because women will say like, it's uncomfortable to walk. Their clitoris will start to enlarge.
Is it reversible?
If they catch it on time, yes.
Okay.
Oof. Yes, I know, right? So if you're a high converter, you don't want to be using large amounts of testosterone. So in our clinic, we've worked with thousands of women and we used to have women start out at 20 milligrams a week of injectable testosterone, which you use less when you're doing injection over cream. And we just found there were too many women getting these side effects. So now we actually start at 10 milligrams typically, depending on where their levels are. We always want to look at their blood levels and say, okay, where's your testosterone? Because some women, they just might need just a baby dose, like 5 milligrams a week. Or they may do cream and then you would do maybe like 1 or 2 milligrams a day of cream because they just need that little top up. Rather than some, they may have to go up to 10 milligrams a day of topical testosterone to get the equivalent of 20 milligrams a week. So does that make sense? So that's a lot less, right? So 20 milligrams for one injection that will go through the whole week, that would be equivalent to around 10 milligrams a day of cream. So I would say ideally you're going to look at, depending on what your levels are, you're going to go from anywhere from 1 to 2 milligrams to 10 milligrams being the high end of the range if you're using gel or cream. If you're doing injectable, you want to do usually start at 10 and kind of go up from there or less.
Du vet, Fredrik og Louise?
Ja.
De så flinke med folk. Man føler seg liksom så velkommen der.
Ja, dette en klage på nå, eller?
Nei, nei, herregud, du flink, du også.
Velkommen til julestemning hos Fredrik og Louisa, med 25% på dyreste vare ved kjøp av 2 produkter. Vilkår gjelder. Fredrik og Louisa, parfymeriet med de beste julegavene.
Julas tilbud hos Spar. Julefeiringen nærmer seg med stormskritt, og nå får du hele 40% rabatt på et stort utvalg Evergood kaffe. I tillegg får du også fersk krydder av tynnribber fra Folkets, før 149, nå kun 99 kroner per kilo. Alltid tilbud på noe godt. Hilsen oss I Spar.
And how about DHEA and testosterone? Could we use both? Like it's a precursor to testosterone, so it's okay to mix it with 25 milligrams or 50,
never that high of DHEA, especially if you're going to use testosterone as well, because DHEA also can cause those androgenic symptoms because it'll go down the same pathway. Right, so DHEA can convert down into dihydrotestosterone, DHEA, testosterone, dihydrotestosterone. So, and you can have receptors for DHEA. It's really common to have a lot of DHEA receptors, so those satellite dishes, in your skin, the sebaceous cells. So women will find they'll get acne and oily skin from too much DHEA. So, but at the same time, so yes, DHEA is so great to convert to testosterone and then to estrogen. That's great. And you will get a little bit of conversion, not a lot, but it will go down. But also DHEA is an adrenal hormone. So it helps us to, it goes down naturally as we age, it gets lower and lower. So it can really help with supporting the adrenal system as we age. But I rarely go above 10 milligrams unless somebody is just bottomed right out. I see much better results with a lower dose, like 10 milligrams a day is probably my favorite, most common dosage for DHEA.
Oh, so you cannot do like 25 every other day because you need it daily, like within the 24-hour cycle.
If that's all you could get your hands on, yeah, do it 25 every other day.
Great.
So much great information here. We're learning so much. I'm just writing down everything. Thank you so much.
A little masterclass for you guys.
Yes. Could we also talk a little bit about like cholesterol? Many people suffer from high cholesterol and they go to the doctors, get statins, and they get started on the medicine. Would like hormonal replacement treatment also help women so we could avoid this medication?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. 100% across the board. Yeah. So we see that, as I said earlier, almost across the board, if a woman doesn't replace her estradiol, her LDL, that's the bad cholesterol, will go up. And blood sugar goes up. And we know that cholesterol is not driven by eating animal fat, unless you've got a genetic predisposition for not being able to handle your saturated fats. In general, if your cholesterol is going up, your LDL, it is being driven by inflammation, which is being driven by too much sugar, too much carbohydrates in your diet. So remember what I said about estradiol being so important for blood sugar regulation. So we see women becoming insulin resistant. Their risk for type 2 diabetes is going to go up if they don't replace their estradiol, which then in turn, all of this impacts cholesterol going up. It drives that cholesterol up. But not only that, is we need estradiol for our heart to function properly, for the epithelial cells in the heart valves. So we need the estrogen on multiple levels for heart health and for blood sugar regulation and control. And like if you want to keep taking it farther, we need estradiol for protein synthesis to be able to make muscles. It's really important, not just testosterone. We need estradiol for muscles. We need it for the mitochondria, the energy within the cell, which is going to help you burn up those calories, burn up the sugar. So on multiple levels are we being affected in the heart, our cholesterol, our blood sugar, all of this works together. And so we know, like research shows even that women that replace their estradiol, they have a greater reduction of cardiovascular disease. In some studies, it was like 45% less risk of cardiovascular disease. That's huge. You know, we see even type 2 diabetes, drastically, the risk of that drastically reduces if they replace their hormones.
So let's say we have a woman who has high level of cholesterol. She has been suggested statins. Instead, she goes on hormonal replacement or starts estradiol treatment. How many months or years would it take to see the better results in cholesterol?
That would be different for every woman because she obviously, it's not the magic bullet. We know that you still have to eat well. You still have to exercise. Once again, genetics can play a huge role in cholesterol management. So that would be different for everyone. We've seen it come down fairly quickly within 6 months to a year even. Thyroid has a very large impact on it as well. So we see women that if they get their thyroid optimized, which is another hormone that about 50% of women will lose thyroid, a lot of thyroid function in perimenopause and menopause. And so if we can get their thyroid up, we definitely see that fixing cholesterol problems fairly quickly and insulin resistance.
Okay, Karen, this is so interesting. We could talk forever, but let's just pick your brain on new babies being born in this world. They are exposed to so many hormonal threats. Where do you see this going with gender dysregulation? Kids growing up these days. What are your thoughts on that?
It's such a sensitive topic. But I really do believe from everything that I've seen in the research and talking to many different professionals this is having a huge impact on gender identification with yourself, like growing up not understanding which gender you are because these hormones are having such a large impact on that. We're seeing it in the animal kingdom where amphibians are being born asexual, you know, not man, not woman. So why wouldn't that be happening to the human being? It is. And I'm not saying that that's what makes somebody non-binary or gay or there's many factors, of course, that go into this, but we are seeing an increase in it. And I do think that our environment is greatly impacting it.
Could you give us your top suggestions for bettering the lifestyle at home, food-wise, lifestyle-wise? What do you do at home with your kids?
I refuse to have any synthetic scented products in my house. So my kids will tell you, like, we have like a natural laundry detergent that's scented with essential oils. We don't use dryer sheets. We don't use any air fresheners unless it's an essential oil one. All of our shampoos, conditioners, creams, lotions, deodorant, everything, dish soap, cleaning products, everything is natural based, and they've got no chemicals in the house. That is one of the number one things that we can do to help control our environment, because we can't control what's out there and we're going to be bombarded by it. And so control what's in your immediate environment. You would be shocked at how many things have chemicals in them, things that you had no idea that you can't even smell them. And you look on the back in the ingredients and it's perfume and, you know, all of these things that you cannot pronounce, you know, look them up, look and see what is that chemical. And sure enough, it'll probably be some endocrine disruptor of some sort. So you want to be super diligent with that. No chemicals, no perfumes. Food-wise, food's really tough. They're now saying that organic's not much better than non-organic because of the wind. And the wind is like, these farmers, they're next to each other. Somebody's using GMO, somebody's trying to do organic. And then the spray of all these chemicals, pesticides, is being blown through the air and dropping on the organic fields. So when they've tested it, there hasn't been a massive difference. So what I tell my clients and our patients is you do what you can. I mean, if you can afford to be hormone-free, antibiotic-free meat, awesome. If you can do grass-fed, even better, from some local farm, great. Most people can't afford that though. So you do the best that you can where you can. I don't know about Norway, but our grocery bills have literally quadrupled in the last couple of years. And so to buy like super quality grass-fed meat, one steak is going to cost you $40. And so that's just, I mean, even if I was rich, I don't know if I would do that. like feed my kids and my family a steak dinner. We used to have steak multiple times a week. Now it's like a treat. Yeah. It's like, oh, it was on sale. And darn right, this is not grass-fed, unfortunately, but you just can't do it, right? You can't do it all. So I always say, do the best you can. Look on there's a list online. It's called the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15. And it's the products that you want to buy organic if you can, because they have the highest amount of pesticides. And then the Clean 15 is, you know, the ones that you don't have to worry about as much because they're not high in pesticides. So you don't necessarily have to buy organic.
Yeah. So exactly. Do what right. you can and don't get paranoid about it, because then it's going to be even worse because there's so many things.
Well, and that's it. You're right. Like the stress of it. And I see a lot of biohackers and people in this industry. And I used to be one of them that was like, never am I going to eat gluten and never am I going to do this and never am I, you know, and then the seed oil thing and everybody's like, don't ever eat any seed oils. It's going to stay in your system for multiple years. And it's like, oh my gosh, I can't even go there. I don't have seed oils in my house. That's it. Yeah. But if I want to go out and have some French fries with my kids, whatever, I'm not going to, I think that the stress of it is more harmful a lot of the time than the actual having that once in a blue moon.
I think so too.
And also you put your strategies in from various angles, so the outcome would be good. We did talk a little bit about supplementation, but if you would pick like some, we always would like to use natural remedies like sunlight and stress management, but still iodine, peptides, or would there be any suggestions to
help us?
From you to opt the hormones?
To optimize the hormones? Yes. So once again, when we hit the perimenopause, menopause, you're losing ovarian function. There's no peptides, supplement, anything that is going to bring them back. Just everybody remember that. You can't hack your way out of ovarian loss. It's going to happen to every single woman, no matter what you do or how healthy you are. And you can still suffer immensely, I'm sorry to say, even when you are doing everything right and taking all the right supplements and doing all the right biohacking. So that's really, really important to hear because once again, women, we beat ourselves up because and we think we're not doing enough and we're failing. So if you're suffering, please don't think that it's you. It is you, but it's your genetics and it's just how sensitive you are to hormonal loss. And some women, they don't even get a hot flash. They're like, I feel great. I've never even felt like nothing in my menopausal years. And it's like, it's rare, but most case, 80% of women will have symptoms. 25% are going to have severe symptoms. So let's remember that. Now, there are things though that I love. Number one, peptides. They're all the rage right now, but we have our own like peptide group and we see it just literally working. Some of these peptides are working miracles for some women. They can be really powerful. Women, no matter what they do, even if they replace their hormones, sometimes can't get rid of the menopausal weight gain. And that seems to be increasing as well, where it's more weight. If you look it up, it's like on average, women in menopause will gain 1 to 1.5 pounds a year. I'm like, oh, I'd like to meet that woman. Like I have yet to see that. Most women, if they're going to gain weight, it's like 20 pounds in a year. Not one. Yeah. Like who cares? One? Oh my God, I could live with that. No problem. I gained 15 pounds in two months.
Wow.
When I lost my hormones, and I'm 5'3". So that was a lot of weight to put on. Heaviest I ever was. And once again, eating perfectly. I don't drink. I had maintained the same weight for 10 years. So it can happen. So peptides, we love tirzepatide. We love BPC-157 because we can become more inflamed as we lose our hormones. So that can be a really great, that's body protection compound, great for inflammation, great for healing the system, great for the gut, which our gut can become compromised as we lose our hormones. Some women do really well on the growth hormone peptides, CJC, Ipamorelin, Tesamorelin, we like, Spermidine, very popular. That can be really great for skin health, for anti-aging. There's other little like nootropic things that have shown to be really great. Like, I don't know if you guys have heard of Qualia Senolytics, which is really good for senescent cells, which that's a whole nother conversation, but it basically helps with cellular health. Let's see, topical hormones, awesome for anti-aging on the face. Which many women don't know, like estrogen on the face just works miracles.
But all these that you're mentioning, some of them we can get in Norway, like spermidine we use all the time from Primadine. We love that.
Yep.
But and the peptides we can order from a guy at Ibiza, Mallorca, Ibiza, Spain.
Okay.
But when you meet your clients, do you meet them up front or do you also take clients online so they can talk to you
online.
Digitally?
They're all online. Perfect.
Yeah.
So if we want to book a consultation with you, how would that work? We send in analyses or walk us through?
Yeah. So we've got a few different options because different price points because not everybody can afford private coaching. So we do have a private telemedicine, which is online clinic. And so I have nurse practitioner, a couple nurse practitioners and doctors who we can prescribe in every state in the US and some provinces in Canada, not in Norway, sorry, not outside of those two countries. However, we will still see people from around the world, anywhere, for consultations. So you would meet, you can meet with one of our hormone practitioners who will write up a hormone protocol for you, lifestyle management, food, supplementation, hormone recommendations that you could then take to your physician. So that's usually the way it will work, where they're like, my doctor has no clue. Tell me what I need. We look at your labs and we'll say, okay, this is how much estrogen, progesterone, testosterone I think you need, or DHEA. Take that to your doctor, see if you can get it. And a lot of the time they will, because they don't know. And they're like, okay, yeah, that works. You know, they hear that it's coming from a menopause specialist. And so then they'll take it seriously. The other thing that we have is a menopause group. And so in the group, there's about 230 women in there right now. It's been going for 6 years. And it's women that are in perimenopause or menopause that want to know how to do this themselves. Like, how can I take this information and apply it to myself so I live my best life in the second half of my life? And so that is really cheap. Anybody can afford it. And so we do weekly group coaching calls where we all get online, and not everybody, but you know what I mean. And you will do lab reads for people, so you can upload your labs and we can tell you, like, okay, looks like you're really losing your estrogen. How are you feeling? Here's what I would recommend. Take that to your doctor so that you can get that kind of one-on-one help with us, but in a group setting. And then we have a really active community so that you can ask your questions in there any time of the day. There's those two options. So private coaching, or if you can't do that, you can do the group coaching. And then we also have a women's peptide group for just strictly for weight loss for women in midlife using peptides.
Cool.
Yeah. Wonderful.
And that's all to be found at KarenMartell.com. Oh, yeah. You'll see it. We actually help people to make, there's a little form you fill out, which will help you to be pointed in the right direction to which service we think is going to be best for you.
And I took your quiz. You had the nice quiz to see.
Yes.
So I could check my hormones. I like it. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a quiz that could possibly tell you what are your top hormone imbalances. Now it's just a quiz, but it's a great starting place. And then we'll give you like an ebook about little tips that will help you. Like you come out with, okay, it looks like you've got some low estrogen and that could be your driving factor with your symptoms. Here's, you know, one of the best diets to do. Here's the hormone replacement therapy that you want to look at. Here's the lifestyle things and exercise that you'd want to be doing. And each one is different, because if you've got low thyroid, it's going to say something else. If you've got PCOS, it's going to say something else. So the ebooks are really fine-tuned so that you can actually get some usable information from them.
And you also have a great podcast.
Yes. The Hormone Solution Podcast. We've got over 350 episodes. We're a top 50 on iTunes, 1% global, globally, over 1.something million downloads now. So it's a great resource. And so if you can't afford group coaching, you can't afford private coaching, you're going to get so much out of my podcast, like tons of information.
Oh, we can hear that already, just talking with you. How many times per year would the client typically meet you online and have these coachings?
Yeah, and how often do you testing?
Yes. Okay. So we'll see somebody for an initial appointment. We want to see them 3 months afterwards. It takes about 3 months for the hormones to kind of act upon each other because they influence each other so much. And so we want to give it about 3 months. And then we test, we start you on the hormones. 3 months afterwards, we test again. we meet again for a follow-up and say, okay, how's everything going? What do we need to tweak? We look at your numbers. We do symptoms and labs together to decide, okay, you need more or less or whatever it might be, switch things around. And then usually after that, it's about every 6 months. Some need a little bit sooner, but in most cases, we can do every 6 months moving forward from there.
And what kind of testing do you do? Do you do the Dutch test or the blood work?
We do both. So Dutch test is expensive, so a lot of clients can't afford that. So across the board, we have to see blood work at least. And we have a certain set of labs that we have to see in order to prescribe. Now, if you're coming in from Norway and you don't have all the labs, but you have all the hormones and you're just wanting coaching on that, then usually that'll be suffice. But if you're working with us and you're in the United States and you want hormone replacement therapy prescribed to you, then we need to see a certain set of blood labs. If you can do the Dutch, great. The urine metabolite tests. We ask that if you're in menopause and you've been without hormones for a while, don't waste your money on the Dutch test. Wait till you've started hormone replacement therapy for at least 3 months and then use the Dutch test to see how are you metabolizing the hormones, because you won't see anything if your hormones are too low. You just won't get a good read of how are you metabolizing the hormones. If you're perimenopausal, still having a cycle, or in your fertile years, we love to see Dutch done on this, ideally on the same day as the blood test.
Karen, this has been wonderful and so inspiring. I'm so inspired now. All the information you have there is based on your story, your passion, and all the women you meet. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me. And I hope I get to come in person to Norway and talk to your guys' audience.
Oh,
that would be
you
so
will.
Exciting to meet you. come to Norway.
We just have to manifest it and it happens.
Exactly.
Don't you think
so? Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm there. We will make sure that everybody gets the link so they can come in and talk to you and just email you from the website
Everything is on the website.
It's a good website.
Yeah. And I got to, you know, if you're looking to get private coaching, we start with a free discovery call where one of my ladies will help you out. We're a full female staff. Every single one of us is extremely knowledgeable in hormones and I've trained them all. So I don't personally do the private coaching anymore, but I have an incredible staff that does.
Perfect.
Great. Looking forward to hear more from you and have a great fall and a great day
you
further
guys
on.
Too. Thank you. And have a good evening. You guys got to get to bed.
Yeah.
I got to start my day.
It's getting dark here now.
Yeah. That's how it is.
Thank you
very much, Karen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ja, Monica, dette var litt av en episode. Jeg så du skrev så blekket sprutet, og det samme gjorde jeg for å få ned og prøve å lære og prøve å huske. Jeg kommer til å høre på denne episoden mange ganger, kjenner jeg, for å få med meg alt det vi lærte I dag av Karen. Ja, hun var helt rå. Flink til å forklare var hun også.
Og mye av det hun sier jo litt teknisk og medisinsk, selv om jeg synes at hun har evnen til å forklare det med smil og glød og entusiasme som gjør at du faktisk hører etter. Og jeg tror at det som med mange av våre episoder, at jeg vil gå tilbake igjen og høre igjen og igjen for å få notert ned ordentlig det som hun snakker om. Men jeg synes det var mange ting hun brakte på banen som var litt nytt for meg, og det var blant annet dosering av hormoner. Det vi ikke så opptatt av I Norge. Vi har bare så vidt begynt å bruke hormoner når det gjelder bioidentiske.
Ja, fordi vi I Norge når vi går til legen, så det veldig lett at har du hot flashes, sover du dårlig, og så da begynner vi med denne lille dosen, og det det som hun snakket om, som jeg også synes var kjempeinteressant, at det kan ta bort hot flashes, og du kan få litt bedre søvn og sånn, men her kan man faktisk, vi som biohackere, vi vil jo bruke all denne kunnskapen og alle de forskningene nå som virkelig kommer ut på hormoner og forbedre helse, det at vi kan få forebygge hjertesykdommer og sånne ting, det jo virkelig kjempespennende.
Det har du helt rett I, Alette. Vi vil jo ikke bare dempe symptomer på overgangsalder og hot flashes og svettetokter og tørr hud. Hvis vi allikevel skal gå inn for å bruke dette medikamentet, den bioidentiske, det koster skjorta, det dyrt, hvorfor skal vi holde på å ta en sånn liten mikrodose bare for å ta bort det overfladiske når det faktisk kan ligge der og hjelpe oss å forebygge de store farlige sykdommene? Men det hun sa da, hun sa at gener spiller veldig inn, for det blir for høyt så kan noen føle seg veldig dårlige og det et genspørsmål mens for andre så funker det superfint så vi jo individuelle nok en gang når det gjelder både behandling så alt må testes og igjen testes etter 3 måneder for det tar 3 måneder før de hormonene begynner å virke I blodbanene våre sånn at du kan få et avtrykk på prøvene
Ja, så det mye det nok litt sånn prøving og feiling I begynnelsen for å finne riktige doser og dette med hormoner forandrer seg også så jeg skjønner at man trenger oppfølging på dette ganske sånn tett for å drive med det, for at det ikke skal bli for høyt og at man skal ligge på den riktige dosen, og hun snakket jo om det at hun vil se tester og hun vil teste at dette virkelig fungerer det vi holder på med.
Vi gikk jo veldig nøye gjennom østrogenene og progesteron og testosteron for så vidt også, med dosering og at man skal starte, hun kalte det for low and slow, for hvis man går for fort ut, sånn, ta for eksempel testosteron, så kan jo det lede til at, at det konverteres til noe hun kalte for dihydrotestosterone, som da gjør at du kan få mer maskulinitet og du kan miste hår og de tingene, men vil ikke gå helt der. Så det jo litt skummelt når man tar hormoner uten kontroll, men jeg føler I alle fall at ved å diskutere hvordan trenden ute I verden, så kan jo legen her hjemme også bli inspirert til å tenke litt mer sånn individbasert behandling, for nå føler jeg at alle bare kommer ut og alle går på plasser på den samme mikrodosen med utrogestan oralt, som da bare har 20% effektivitet ifølge henne. Så kanskje man skal tenke litt på det også, om det alternative former. Vi har jo veldig lite tilbud, man kan ikke få noen injeksjoner for eksempel på disse hormonene her hjemme enda.
Nei, så vi henger litt etter, så vi må bare fortsette å snakke om dette. Vi må fortsette å inspirere til at legene våre får kunnskapen og dra inn folk fra utlandet som kan mer. Det det eneste vi kan gjøre, og så må vi stå på selv og snakke med og fortelle hva vi ønsker.
Så husk da du som lytter på podcasten nå, at hvis du sitter på dine blodprøver, eller du har tatt Dutch-testen, og du har en lege du trives med, men du har lyst til å virkelig få de beste resultatene og den beste effekten av behandlingen du går på nå, så det mulig å gjøre online coaching. Og det jo selvfølgelig kostbart å ha 1-1 coaching. Hun snakker om 1-2 sessions I året. Og dersom du synes det var litt dyrt, så har jo denne Facebook-gruppen, eller en gruppe, jeg vet ikke om det var på Facebook, jeg husker ikke helt, men det var I hvert fall en gruppe med mennesker som møtes, og det en rimeligere variant hvor man kan sitte og dele erfaringer og hjelpe hverandre med blodanalyser og de forskjellige testene. Så det var jo også en veldig fin approach, synes jeg.
Kjempefin. Men ja, som du sier, det dyrt å kjøpe alle disse hormonene, så hvorfor ikke gjøre det riktig med en gang og få den beste behandlingen man kan?
Særlig hvis hormonbehandling skal være ditt største biohack akkurat nå. Da det like greit å gå all in.
Yes, det det. Vi legger linker til Karen under, og håper du vil dele episoden med noen som du tror kan ha like mye glede av den som det du hadde når du lyttet til den I dag.
Og send den gjerne til legen din.
Ja, det var lurt. Happy
biohacking. Vi minner om at dere må snakke med egen lege eller kostholdsveileder om dietter og andre spørsmål relatert til medisiner og supplementer. Informasjon med dele kan ikke bli brukt til å diagnostisere, behandle, forebygge eller kurere noen sykdommer eller tilstander.
Julas tilbud og spar. Julefeiringen nærmer seg med stormskritt, og nå får du hele 40% rabatt på et stort utvalg Evergood kaffe. I tillegg får du også fersk krydder av tynnribber fra Folkets før 149, nå kun 99 kroner per kilo. Alt I tilbud på noe godt. Hilsen oss I Spar.